Well, it's a joy to be back tonight. Thank the Lord for the privilege He's given us to come together in the house of the Lord. Good to see Brother Kurt tonight. I slipped up on you, Brother Kurt. I appreciate him. I talked to a pastor up in near Chicago the other day, up in Highland, Indiana. He had called me, and I called him back. And he said, I'm having dinner with Brother Kurt LeBeau and his wife. And so they've been up north, and but he didn't catch much of that. He's still singing okay, and I'm sure thankful for that. Isn't the Lord good? He sure is wonderful. I appreciate the privilege to get to be here today, and I trust that you would remember us, please. I have this coming week home. And then I don't have any time off until Christmas. So I'd like for you to pray that the Lord would strengthen us and help us and His will would be done. Please make the matter that we spoke about this morning, I'd like for you to pray about that. Really help me to pray about that. I value your prayers. And we appreciate the privilege to be here today. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. Chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll read some verses here, and then we'll have prayer, and then we'll move over to Luke chapter 8. I enjoy getting great truths out of the epistles, and then finding an illustrative text, either in the gospel account or in the Old Testament. And what's wonderful is when you can illustrate the truth from the Scripture, then you know that the Bible is the best commentary that you can have on the Word of God. And certainly, I believe that that'll be beneficial to us tonight. Notice, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want to begin reading in verse number 3, where the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again." Look at that word there. That word, He said, He hath begotten us again. That word again would suggest to us that Simon Peter had hope previously, but that hope had been diminished, had been taken away. And I'm sure that when Simon Peter knew that he had died on the cross, all of his hope was depleted. But Simon said that we've been begotten again unto a lively hope, or a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He said, my hope left me when he died, but it got up again when he arose. Amen. Notice verse 4. He said, here's what He's begotten us to. An inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Somebody said, I wonder when they're going to get my mansion built. Could I say to you that in Simon Peter's day it was already reserved? I travel all the time and I've never made reservations in a motel that hadn't been built yet. And Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. They're already there. But our place is already reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice verse 6. He said, wherein? That is a connecting conjunction. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice. He said, you can rejoice in what I've just said. We can rejoice in the fact we've got a living hope. Verse 3. We got a lasting home. In verse 4. And we got a lordly help. In verse 5, we're kept by the power of God. He said, wherein you greatly rejoice. You can rejoice in that. though now for a season. He said, your season now may not have anything to rejoice in, but you can rejoice in what is already done. Matters not what kind of day you're having. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That word temptations there is also our word trial or testing. He said that you may have days that's manifold testings in it. That word manifold means many colored. Many colored, the temptations come your way. That lets me know they come in different avenues. But he said also in chapter 4, 1 Peter, that we're stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, if you're having a manifold day of testing, there's manifold grace for every trial you've got. Notice verse 7. Here's why we have testings. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And the thought continues, but I want to look tonight where he said in verse number 7 that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. I want to deal tonight with this subject, the trial of your faith. The trial of your, or the tryings of your faith. Why does our faith need to be tested? Because you don't know what kind you've got till it's put through the test. Amen. Let's ask God to help us tonight. Father, thank you for the privilege you've given us together tonight in the house of the Lord. Thank you for the good morning that you gave us. The good afternoon, Lord, of fellowship. And then, Lord, thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for the good singing. I pray now your will would be done. I pray that you would say a word to hearts tonight. You know the need of every individual that's here. And I'm glad that the Word of God has the answer to every problem that we might have. I pray now that you may manifest yourself. And Lord, that attention would be given to the voice of the Lord. We'll certainly thank you, deal in the hearts of the unsaved, and bring them to yourself. And we'll thank you for what you do, for it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I want us to look tonight. Don't forget, we're dealing with the fact of the trial of your faith. I want us to turn to Luke chapter 8. And I want to begin here as we look beginning in verse number 40. I'd like for you to just pay attention and stay with me here. And I believe the Lord can help us tonight. Notice in verse number 40, Bible says in Luke chapter 8, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now notice verse number 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. Now I want to say tonight, as we follow Jairus and Jesus down through the pages of this text tonight, down through the verses, we're going to see a man whose faith is really put to the test. Matter of fact, we get to a place to where his faith seemingly is completely demolished. But I'm glad that Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, when we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Aren't you glad that when your faith seems to bottom out, it doesn't affect him any? I'm glad tonight that he's a great God. I do know that without faith, it's impossible to please him. But I do want you to know that just because your faith runs low doesn't mean the Lord's going to drop you like a hot potato. I'm glad he's a great God. And even though sometimes I can't believe, I'm glad he abides faithful and he will continue on. There's one thing, listen to me carefully. In the last 13 or 14 years, my family and I and my wife, we've been through some great difficulties. But I can tell you this, God has taught me the difference between faith and trust. I want you to listen very carefully. I read this out of an old book. The Holy Ghost put this in my heart. Sometimes I'm glad when I can operate on faith. Faith knows that God will. Amen. But trust knows that God can. And I'm telling you, sometimes I don't know whether he will or not, and my faith runs low. But I'm glad that I know that he can. And my trust is always on the top side. I say hallelujah. There's nothing that our God cannot do. He's a marvelous God. He's great and greatly to be praised. And when your faith seems like that it's on the bottom, just remember that you don't know whether he will or not, but you sure believe that he can. And that's why David said, I trust totally in him. Hey, I'm glad we've got a God that understands and knows our situations. Now, let's look first of all at faith exercised. In other words, Jairus here, there's nothing wrong with his faith. When he finds that his daughter is sick, he comes to the right source. Somehow Jairus knows that the Lord is able to touch his daughter. Somehow he's heard that Jesus can heal the sick. And his daughter lay a dying. His only daughter. And it's the closest thing to his heart. Can I say something to you? The trial of your faith to a heart that longs for him. Your trial will come in the area of that which you love the most. I promise you that will be the case. God will deal with you in the area of that which you love the most. Back years ago, my faith was tried in the area through the avenue of other people. And I would be pulled into their situations. But the last 13 years, the trial of my faith has been in my family. And I'd say, God, if you'll just back off of my family, I'll take those other trials 1,000 times over. And back then I thought it was going to take me under. But I can tell you this, if you've got a heart for God and long for God, don't be surprised when God deals with your trials, your faith, in the area of that which you love the most. Can I say to you, friend, he's a good God. He doesn't do anything wrong. He's too good to do wrong. And he's too wise to make a mistake. But yet God understands and knows what's going on. So, we see that faith is exercised here. I see Jairus as he's coming to the Lord and falling at his feet. Here's a man that's a ruler of the synagogue, preacher. And yet when it comes to his only daughter, he's in the dust down on his face at Jesus' feet. Somebody said, well, I'd never get that low. You will if the trial of your faith ever gets on you just right. It'll bring you low, but it'll bring you to the feet of Jesus. Oh, Brother Jairus back there, his daughter is dying. Let me say, I see here that there is a desperate dilemma. Notice, if you will, you know Mark says about this same episode in chapter 5 and verse number 23, that Jairus besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee come and lay thy hands on her. She shall be healed and she shall live." I can see Jairus now. He's saying, "My little daughter." Oh, can you see the agony of his soul? Can you see the desperation in his heart? Can you see that he's needing help from the Lord more than anything else? And my friend, he says, "My little daughter, Lord, is lying at the point of death." Oh, that was a desperate dilemma. His desperate dilemma was his daughter was dying. He's got a dying daughter. And I tell you, that is a desperate dilemma. But then thirdly, there's the decided direction. You say, "What do you mean, preacher?" Bible says in Mark's account, and when Jesus, Bible said, and Jesus went with him. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jairus got Jesus' attention? Hey, Bible said there was a multitude there. They were all waiting for him. But the heaviest heart got his attention. Would you get a hold of that? The heaviest heart got his attention. And Jairus at the feet of Jesus. And praise God, the Bible said that Jesus went with him. Isn't that wonderful? Now watch this. I need somebody to help me. You'll do good. Come right here a minute. I want you to think about this with me. Now, Jairus' daughter is dying. Now, you be Jesus and I'll be Jairus. Is that okay with you?
I don't know.
Well, you be Jesus and I'll be Jairus. Now, we'll just get this picture, mental picture. Let me have your hand here. Would you get this mental picture in your mind? Jairus' daughter's dying. He and Jesus is not on a casual little stroll. Jairus has got a little bitty window of opportunity to get Jesus down to his house before his daughter dies. Now get the picture. I can see Jairus now. When he gets up and Jesus goes with him, he's saying, "Come on, Lord. We just got a little while to get there. Please, she was in a bad way when I was going." Can you keep up? Said, come on, Lord. Can you see Jairus? Thank you. I'll need you again in a minute. But I'm just simply saying, can you get that mental picture in your mind? Jairus, she's drawing her last breath. And in Jairus' mind, just a little bitty space of opportunity to get Jesus down to his house. And he's pulling him along because man's governed by time. He's governed by time. We got to get there, Lord. We've got to get there. So we see faith exercised. Then I want to talk for just a moment about faith intensified. What do you mean, preacher? Nervous faith. Somebody said, "I don't believe in such a thing." Well, you just haven't been there quite right yet. Can I say it like this? A paradox. Worried faith. I can see Jesus now and Jairus as they're headed down to Jairus' house. Now, normally we never put these two episodes together. But there's a woman with an issue of blood. Now don't forget Jairus. A woman with an issue of blood presses through the crowd, touches the hem of his garment, and guess what? Jesus stops. Now don't forget Jairus. He's got the Lord's attention. The Lord's going with him. But now his faith becomes worried. His faith becomes intensified. All of a sudden, he's wringing his hands again. I'm preaching to somebody tonight. He's all of a sudden, I see him as he's sitting over here. He's wringing his hands again. When I deal with this woman with the issue of blood, don't forget Jairus. I see him as he's sitting over here. The whole time Jesus is dealing with that woman. Somebody said, how long did they stay stopped, preacher? I don't know. But the woman been 6, 12 years. And you get a lady talk about being 6, 12 years. They're going to be there a good while. Let me say to you, and the Bible said that she told him everything that had happened. And I see Jairus, he's wringing his hands. This is where the devil claws up on your shoulder and shouts in your ear. I told you he didn't care about you as much as he did everybody else. Hey, I'm trying to say something. There's the trial of your faith. And when you think you've only got a little bit of window of opportunity, and it may seem that that window slammed shut, but there's never been a window closed on Jesus, hallelujah, that He cannot open again. Notice, faith intensified. Look at the latter part of verse number 42, Luke 8. But as he went, the people thronged him. You know, Jairus is in a hurry. And he's trying to get the Lord to his house. And always everybody else gets involved. And everybody else gets in the way. Oh my, I don't want to have to labor there. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you'll put everybody else will get in the way. Here, the people were thronging him. But I want you to notice something. I want you to listen carefully here. Listen carefully here. I see the working providence of God that's being worked here. What do you mean, preacher? The Bible said in verse number 43, this woman having an issue of blood, how long? Somebody help me. Back at verse number 42, how old was that little girl? You say, what are you saying? That's just a coincidence. That's no coincidence. Back yonder 12 years ago, God put something in motion. I believe the day that Jairus' daughter was birthed, that woman got sick. You know why? Because Jesus knew and God knew, and they're both the same, that out yonder 12 years, Jairus and that lady with an issue of blood, their paths was going to cross. And in the trying of Jairus' faith, he's going to need somebody that the Lord can help in the midst of it to give him hope back in his heart. Hey, I'm trying to say something to you. Somebody said, man, I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. We jump on those doctors that couldn't help that lady. That woman couldn't have got healed anyway. It wasn't the will of God for her to be healed. Jesus was going to heal her after under 12 years later. And you say, well, how does he? He knows everything. And you may be in a situation right now and you're wondering why it can't get better. You see this thing about the family of God. God puts us all together so that in when He helps us, somebody else will need that help to help and increase and their hope in the Lord right at that particular time. So, providence at work. So that's how I don't believe in the providence of God. You ain't, boy, you're going to be in a mess from here on in. Providence is made up of two Latin words. Pro video. Pro means before. Video, you know what that means. To be able to see. God sees before providence. He sees before it ever happens. But not only does He see, He puts it in action to work it exactly like He wants it to be worked. I believe in a God like that. I believe we're serving a big God that hasn't left me here on my own to just make it through this world the best I can. I've got a God that's arranging my steps. Hallelujah. I've got a God that understands where I am. Bible said in Hebrews 12 that we're to run this race with patience. That's what? Set. Somebody said, what does that set mean? Marked out. This course, my life, has been marked out. Been set by God. We're to run this race with patience. That's been set before us. Marked out. Now, I don't believe that like the guy that fell down the stairs. When he fell down the steps, got up and said, man, I'm glad that's over now. No, I don't believe that. But I do believe if you belong to God, He's mapped out your path. Every day, you see, God's already written it and rolled it up. But every day as I live, I'm kicking open a new page. And that scroll has been... Somebody said, preacher boy, you're a fanatic. No, leave me alone. I'm happy that I'm not governing my own life. I'm happy that I've got a God that's taking care of me. And God is working things for His glory and for my good. All things, what? Work together for the good to them that love God. Them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, I see the working providence of God. This lady couldn't get better. Bible said she'd spend all she had on physicians. And the Lord let her become bankrupt when that girl got sick. So that she, the woman, would start making her way toward Jesus the same time Jairus had him pulled down toward his house. I feel like I hit a little snag there, but I'm telling you, we've got a God in charge. What that'll do is keep us from murmuring, complaining when we hit a bump in the road. Now, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. I'd get upset if you thought I was. But I do believe in the ability of God and the providio, the providence of God. I see the working providence of God. I see the wonderful power of God. In other words, verse number 44, this lady came behind Him and touched the border of His garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. So that just simply means it stopped. All of a sudden, what she had wasted all of her living on with doctors, all of a sudden, one touch of His garment, she was made completely whole. Don't forget Jairus now. I'm preaching on Jairus. Don't forget Jairus. He's sitting over here. He's a ring in his hands. He's come to the right source. He had the right source headed in his direction. He knows Jesus can. Now he don't know whether he will or not. Now he don't know whether he will or not. Now he's worried. Oh, my little daughter, I wonder how she is. Devil's saying to him, I told you. Told you he really didn't care. See, if it hadn't been for that woman, you could have been down to your house. But you see, the Lord has got it all planned out. I see Him as He's wringing His hands. I see the working providence of God. I see the working power of God. Then I see the worried parent. He's sitting there. While the whole time the Lord's dealing with that woman, Jairus is out of the picture. But Jairus hasn't forgot. I mean, Jesus hasn't forgot Jairus. Because you know what He called that woman with the issue of blood? Daughter. You know what He's trying to do? He's trying to get through to Jairus. Jairus, I know it's your daughter. But He called her daughter. Jairus, I've still got you in mind. I don't know where you're at tonight, ma'am. I don't know where you're at tonight, sir, but can I tell you, it seems like He's not listening. Let me remind you, He's still got you in mind. Then thirdly, I not only see faith exercised, faith intensified, but thirdly, faith paralyzed. Look, if you will, in verse number 49. While He yet spake, in other words, while Jesus was still talking to that woman, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to Him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the Master. Can you see Jairus now? Here he sits. Somebody come from his house and said, Jairus, no need to trouble the Lord anymore. It's over. She's gone. Can you see Jairus now? A while ago, his hope was in good condition. But that news, are you listening? That news has depleted all of his hope. His faith has bottomed out. I see him now as he leans back, or as he drops his head and buries his head in his hands. She's gone. She's gone. Faith paralyzed. I see the disappointing report. I see the devastating response. Come here. I see Jairus is sitting over there now. Hope gone. Faith shot. Has no hope at all now. His daughter's gone. You remember a while ago, Jairus had Jesus headed down through there, and they'd been detained. Now I'll be Jesus and you be Jairus. Jesus says, get up, Jairus. Let's go. Jairus is thinking, what's the need of going now? Jesus said, come on, Jairus. Whenever you can't believe, I abide faithful. I hadn't forgot you, Jairus. I hadn't forgot you. But, sir, it's beyond hope, sir. No, as long as I'm around, it's never beyond hope. As long as I've got your circumstances in my hand, it's never beyond hope. Come on, Jairus. Let me show you what I can do now. Let me show you what I can do. Oh, my Lord. Could I say, don't ever give up on the Lord? I don't know what your condition is. I don't know what you're facing. I'm going to tell you. You said, are you preaching to me that God's going to fix it? I'm preaching to you that God can. Here's the key. He may not change your circumstances. He may just fix you. Praise God. He may not fix your problem. He may just fix you. To where you can be stilled and the storm still may be raging. But there's a calmness in your soul that you know He is in charge. Yes. Let me give you the last thing. I see faith exercised, faith intensified, faith paralyzed, but now faith stabilized. What do you mean stabilized? I see Jairus and Jesus now as they get down to Jairus' house. Jairus, still heartbroken, not knowing what's going to happen. Heartbroken, but Jesus has got him by the hand. You may be heartbroken, but if the Savior's got a hold of you, He can take care of you. Notice, if you will, Jesus gets down there, verse number 51. And when He, well, look at verse 50. When Jesus heard it, He answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when He came into the house, watch it now, He suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. Peter, James, and John, the father and the mother, and the maiden, and Jesus. That's seven. I reckon that's a number of completion. They're all in there. Look at verse 52. And all wept and bewailed her. But He said, "Weep not. She's not dead, but sleepeth." Somebody said, "Sleepeth." Sir, I done went and checked her pulse. It's over. She's gone. No hope available. But when Jesus said she's only sleeping, there's hope available. Was she dead, preacher? Yeah. But He's the resurrection. And to Him, she was only sleeping. Boy, that's good news for those that's passed on. Bible said, don't be ignorant, brethren. I wouldn't be ignorant concerning those who are asleep. He didn't say they're dead. If they died in the Lord, they're not dead. They're just sleeping to Him. And one day, they're going to get up again. Isn't that wonderful? I see. He said there, verse number 53, when He said she's only sleeping, they laughed into scorn, knowing that she was dead. Isn't it amazing that they went from verse 52, from weeping to laughing into scorn? That lets me know their weeping wasn't real. See, in that day they had hired weepers. They would have folk that pay them to come in and moan and groan over the dead. Because if you can turn immediately from weeping to laughing, you're just getting paid for it. Oh boy. There's a real message in that. Notice, if you will, in verse 54. Notice right here. And He put them all out. Wow, that's amazing. There's the selected group that He took with Him. And there's the sin out group that He wouldn't let see what was going on. You see, when you mourn and weep and then laugh into scorn, He won't let you see His power. When you don't believe that He can, He won't let you see Him do it. See, they knew she was dead and laughed into scorn. But He sent them out. You know what He'll do? Before He ever really sends resurrection power into a church, He'll send that crowd out that couldn't believe He could do it to begin with. Remember this. God may exit some before real revival ever comes. There's always that sent out group that He wouldn't let them. He wasn't about to raise her as long as there's laughing and mocking. But He sent them out and then He got her up. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? There I see the selected group. I see the sent out group. But then there's a little settled group. What do you mean? When Jesus got her up, the Bible said in verse number 54, and He put them all out, took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." Wasn't no problem for Him to get her up once He got there. Once He got all the hindrances out of the way, wasn't no problem for Him to bring reviving and resurrection to this room. "Arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and He commanded to give her meat. He said, "She's up now. Somebody get her a little something to eat." And her parents were astonished, and He charged them that they should tell no man what was done. You think that really happened? Now, I don't want y'all to say anything about this. Oh, my goodness. I'd say when that little girl got up and got her little bite to eat, she heads out the door. She said, "I want to tell you there's one that could bring resurrection." Listen carefully. The message tonight is that Jairus' faith was put through a real test. There was the trial of his faith. But because his faith depleted, didn't keep Jesus from doing what He was going to do. Somebody said, "Boy, if I could just muster up enough faith, I could get Jesus to do it." Let me just say this. I'm done. I'm done preaching. Listen. Luke chapter 17, Jesus told those disciples, said, "Now y'all going to have to forgive one another." And Simon Peter said, "We need to forgive 7 times a day." He said, "No, 70 times 7. Simon said, "Boy, you're going to have to do something to our faith then if that's going to be the case." And they said, here's what they said, "Lord," now listen, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." And I've heard message on top of message on how the Lord increased their faith. Did you know He didn't increase their faith? Study the passage. They said, "Lord, increase our faith." He said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed." Now, that ain't much. He said, "If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamine tree, 'Be thou plucked up by the roots,' or you could say to this mountain, 'Be thou cast into the sea,' and it would obey you." And that's with mustard seed faith. You know what He's saying to them? "Look, men, you're wanting your faith increased. You don't need more faith. You just need to put to use the faith that you got. Even if it's the size of a mustard seed, it's enough." Study that passage. That'll shed new light. A lot of times we said, oh Lord, would you help me to be able to believe?" He said, "Whether you believe or not, that don't hamper me none. I can still get it done." Mustard seed and a speck of dust looks the same. You can't hardly see either one of them. What's the difference, preacher? There's life in that mustard seed. Even though it's very small, plant it in the ground, get it anchored in the right place, and it'll bring forth. Boy, we're constantly saying, "Lord, I reckon the reason it's not happening for me is I don't have enough faith." Jesus said, "Plant ye mustard seed in me, and I can do all things." I'm telling you, that's wonderful. You don't need more faith, He said. You just need to do right with what faith you've got. That all that little truth right there always gets folks to looking at me funny. Please study that text. It'll shed new light on you and give you hope when you feel like that there is no hope. What a God we serve. Let's stand.